Thank you for joining us. The Dacus Report is on the air, ready to defend your religious freedom, your parental rights, and other civil liberties. And now, with the latest information, is your host, the president of the Pacific Justice Institute, Brad Dacus.
Isn't it great when clubs, positive clubs with hope and a Christian message, come to our public high schools? Well, there's a problem, though. You see, some high schools aren't exactly friendly to such clubs, and we have a case matter that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show that Pacific Justice Institute got involved in regarding defending the right for a Christian club to be treated fairly and equally like other clubs. I think you'll find it very encouraging. But in the first half of the show, I want to talk to an expert on how to have life to the max, how to have joy and peace to the max in life. And I know you're thinking, this sounds like an infomercial. Folks, it's not an infomercial. It's very practical, actually, dealing with the real challenges we're facing today spiritually as a nation. I'd like to welcome to the show Barry McGuire. Now, Barry, you are known by many as the McGuire or the McGuire's Car Wax, correct?
Yeah, I'm kind of known as the car guy. I do sell car wax. I had, of course, these Car Crazy television show that I did for about 18 years. But, you know, when I launched into retail back in 1973, in that very same year, God just injected a guy into my life that gave me the key to having joy. I didn't have the joy you're talking about. And he was the most joyful, at that time, the most joyful, happy Christian I'd ever seen. And I didn't see it by him talking about joy. I saw him expressing it and telling about all the people he was sharing his faith with every opportunity, meeting rooms and waiting rooms and airports and restaurants and all over. And I walked away in tears. Literally, I walked away in tears saying, God, that's what I want. I want that for my life. And I've been doing it ever since. And I've been trying ever since to be that same guy. His name was Herb Ellingwood. I've been trying to be the Herb Ellingwood to as many other lay people as I possibly can be for the rest of my life.
Okay. Now, I think, and you have been, and I know you personally, and you're an inspiration to me when I see how you live your life that way, and you do experience the joy to the max. You see that in your life.
Well, yeah, and I have to correct you for a moment. You said that I was the expert. I think you're the expert. Every time I'm with you, you have all these stories, and I kind of get that you have more fun sharing your faith than I was just describing. You have more fun sharing your faith than you have winning the big court cases.
Well, that is true. I do actually have more joy when I get to share Jesus than I do when we argue a case or we win a case. I do. And I think that's
I know you do.
And that's one reason why
hanging out with you, because you always have these amazing stories and I say, yes, you know, you encourage me and then I share back with you and our conversations go on forever, you know.
They do.
Talk about how much fun we're having.
They do. They really do. And I think part of it is also understanding where we are today in history. I want you to touch on, you know, people say, well, why is it so important to share our faith? Well, you know, obviously the scripture commands us to, compels us to, but also where our nation is today, I think gives a compelling reason in and of itself. Talk about that, please.
Well, I would say that just about every listener to us right now is not only wanting to honor God, but as a patriot, loves America and is concerned with what's going on. And let me give you some just quick statistics, and you know them as well as I do. But back in 1960, 70% of our population went to church on a regular basis, you know.
Wow.
That number is now 20%.
Wow.
When a country loses 50% of our country turns away from stops spending time with God and starts focusing on their own self-interest, there are consequences. You know, there are consequences, and we're suffering those consequences. Less than 20% of our population still goes to church, and of those, only half of those are saved.
Wow.
I mean, so seldom you even hear a salvation message in a church anymore. So really, there's 10%, maybe like 29 million adult Christians left in America.
Yeah.
But you know what? We got game. We have opportunity because 83% of the unchurched know the world's out of control. Let's get this. It's powerful. Because they say, oh, they don't care. They're not interested. They'll just be thinking I'm fanatic. No, 83% of the unchurched know the world's out of control, would like to believe that there's a God who can make sense out of it, would like to find somebody that could tell them, and get this, and already have a Christian in their life that they trust. In fact, would even trust for their money. That's how much they trust them. We have all the opportunity in the world. We just need to wake up and start doing it. We need to turn our lights back on. Before we can ignite America, the revival, we have to ignite the church.
Right.
Every one of us, every listener to us right at this moment. It is the Great Commission, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I know that I heard one other study that said that 7 out of 10 people who don't go to church would go to church if they were invited. They would probably go to church.
Here's another statistic. The statistics, they're really, but you got to look at them all. 35% of all Christians say they share their faith, okay? Fact of the matter is, when you go into the numbers, you find out they're talking about they've invited somebody at some point to go to church. That's the lowest form of faith sharing.
Right.
We invite somebody to a church, and then when they don't get saved on that Sunday, we blame the pastor, or the music was bad. We're going to get them from A to Z in one church service, you know. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I mean, sharing faith is living your life for the Lord, letting your light so shine, having people see God in you and wanting what you have. And that's sharing your faith. And quite frankly, less than 1% of us are literally sharing our faith with, and by that I mean intentionally looking to move everybody, every day, closer to Jesus, no matter who they're talking to, wanting to move, if only by a skosh, just by a nudge, moving closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And only 1% of us are doing it. Think of 10% or 20% of our listeners right now would start thinking about, I have personal responsibility. I've been given the commission. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I need to start letting people see Christ through me, God through me, and wanting what I have. What am I doing? You know, we can't change the world. None of us can change the world, but every one of us can change our world, right where we're at. Tell how they're going to know unless somebody tells
them. Okay. I agree with you 100%, Barry. You're right. People need to be sharing their faith, and it's not just inviting people to church. But the average person out there, I mean, so many people will agree with you 100%. Yeah, I need to be sharing my faith. Well, I mean, how do they do it? How do we actually get ourselves actually sharing our faith? What are some ways, methodologies to help us to really exhibit the love of Christ in our lives and let that flow productively and in real ways, raw ways, to people who are lost?
They'll know you're my disciple by your love. We need to stop shaking our fists and pointing fingers and telling people they're going to hell and start loving people. And the powerful message is, do you know God loves you? Nobody turns and runs from you when you say that, you know? Just expressing God's love, showing real interest in people. And the moment you do that, they open up and you'll see that part of their life that's hurting. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives you the words to say, doesn't he? I mean, you and
yes.
I both experience that all the time. He always gives you the right word to say. It may be a scripture, it may be a life experience, it may be somebody else's life experience. And you know as well as I do how fast they can move from laughter to tears when you touch their need and really minister to it.
Right.
It's amazing.
Now, a lot of people might do something like this, sort of out of this obligatory, like, okay. I mean, I was in college, you know, we were challenged to share our testimony in front of class before class started. And I did it sort of obligatory, like, okay, here we go. Everyone, I just want to share with you. And it wasn't, I wasn't doing it out of the love of Christ. I was doing it sort of an obligation.
Yes, yes.
I know, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm trying to think of ways that people can do it out of the love of Christ. I know part of that is communing with God. And being in the vine, like John chapter 15 talks about, residing in Christ by spending time with God in prayer, and then also praying for others and praying for people, because when I pray for people, I start loving them as Christ loves them. What are some other ways that people can see that love facilitate and flow so they're not doing this out of guilt or fear?
Let me tag on to what you just said. Start every day praying, God, make me a light in the world. Help me move everybody today closer to Jesus, everybody I'm with today closer to Jesus, and then watch for the opportunities to come. Show interest in them. Oftentimes you'll see the need and say, I'll pray for you. And you know what's powerful is, I mean, when you say you pray, you really need to pray for them. Come back that a week later, 2 weeks later, and say, you know, I've been praying for you every day over the last 2 weeks. How you doing? Wow, you just opened them up. You've been praying for me. I mean, it melts people. But you knew it, not not as a gymnastic event. It's real. It's passionate. You're really caring for them, and the love of right. God flows through you. And it's not rote. It's exciting. It's adventurous, isn't it? I mean, you and I are both having so much fun doing this, and people just think it's agony and this thinking of right. obligation. Isn't that foolish?
I know. They hear a sermon Sunday morning, like, you go out there and they go, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then they're just like, they just clam up on Monday. And yeah. and yet really taking this is real Christianity. This is what the early church was about. Bottom line, the Roman Empire was transformed. And what was happening in Rome would make San Francisco look like a boys' choir.
That's right. Exactly.
And yet the love and power of Christ, people living their faith, was transformational. That same God is just as real today. The truth is just as powerful today. Okay, now before we run out of time, I want people to understand about this new television show you have. It's called Ignite Your Life, and I'm actually in the first episode, which is just aired, and we talk about on the show how to practically, with real examples, share your faith in a way that brings people and nudges people closer to Christ. Tell us briefly about this show. We're running out of time, but I want people to know about this show because it's really important.
You describe it well. People don't understand what faith sharing is. It's obligation. It's scripted. It's plastic. It's stiff. It's hard. It's anguish. No. It's fun. We need role models. We need to see what faith sharing Christians look, early church Christians look like today. So Ignite Your Life TV. I just interview people who are having the time of their life. Having the time of life, sharing their faith every moment. And you can just see how easy they do it, how easy in conversation, how dramatically, how miraculously God causes events to happen. And I mean, almost on a daily basis, you see where God is actually using you. He's using me. Seriously, God, you walk away from that experience. There's nothing in the whole entirety of human existence that matches the feeling of knowing you just were used by God to move people closer to Him. So all kinds of people, all walks of life, it doesn't matter if you're loud or quiet or old or young or rich or poor, all of us have the same calling, and we show people from all those different types of situations and how they're being a light in their world and having the time of their lives doing it. It's so cool. It's so much fun. And we started with you because you're the best, Brad. You really are. Nobody does it better than you.
Thank you for the compliment. It is interesting because on the show, I don't talk about Pacific Justice 2 cases. I talk about sharing Christ and examples in regular day-to-day life, sharing Christ. You know, Barry, someone once came up to me and they said, boy, I just wish I could do what you're doing. I just wish, I'm just a plumber, or I forget their occupation, but it was, I'm just this. And I said, do you know the most important thing that I do in my life is you can do it too. And that is sharing my faith. That's more important than anything else I do in my life is sharing the good news of Christ. And I think true. That person, it's just sort of a wake up call to all of us. It's not our label. It's not what we do. It's not our occupation. It's not our education. What matters the most is, are we being faithful with what God's given us? And I love your program. That's why I have you on the on this show, because I want people to be challenged the same way I'm challenged by you and this program and the messaging for all of us to really step up and live our lives for Christ. And you can't live your life with Christ if you're not living the truth and sharing the truth and that hope that is within you to the people around you.
That's so true. It's so true. The only thing will matter 100 years from now is how many people are in heaven, on their way to heaven, or not going to heaven because of your influence. Everything else you do today is hay and stubble, and that puts things in proper perspective.
It certainly does. It certainly does. So once again, so where do we go to get the schedule on these different shows?
Go to igniteyourlife.tv. Igniteyourlife.tv.
Okay, great. Igniteyourlife.tv. Excellent.
There
Thank you.
Go.
Thank you once again, Barry, for the work you're doing. God bless you.
Thank you, Brad.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dacus.
Tragically, the shrill of voices demanding the protection and expansion of abortion rights have now obtained state laws that allow for late-term abortions. New York's governor signed a late-term abortion law that allows abortion through the 9th month of pregnancy. The state of Oregon has no state laws restricting abortion, and by now,
we have all heard about the governor of Virginia who actually described a scenario of possible infanticide. The First Amendment rights we fight for are meaningless without the right to life. Pray for our nation.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Pacific Justice Institute is here for you, defending faith, family, and freedom all without charge. We're almost entirely supported by concerned individuals like you who believe in our work. We invite you to prayerfully consider joining our support team by making a one-time donation or becoming a monthly financial support partner. Visit our website at pji.org and join our team today.
And folks, if you'd like to support the Pacific Justice Institute on either a one-time or a monthly basis, please go to our website. It's pacificjustice.org or pji.org. P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org. And we have great resources there, including our book, Reclaim Your School. It's a free download. It talks all about your rights to legally evangelize and share your faith in public schools. It also has information about an opt-out form that you can use to protect your children as well. These are just a few of our resources that we have at pji.org, P for Pacific, J for Justice, I for Institute.org. And once again, you can also sign up to receive our free The Legal Insider, which I know you'll find really helpful and very interesting. It sort of shows you what's going on and also what you need to be praying for when it comes to these challenges that we're dealing with at the Pacific Justice Institute. Now, I'd like to interview one of our attorneys who I have tremendous respect for, Dennis Fagel. Thank you for joining us, Dennis.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Now, Dennis, you head up our office in San Jose for the Pacific Justice Institute. I'm really excited. This is an important part of the, not just the state of California, but the country, where we have a lot of challenges there in the South Bay area of San Francisco. And there's a case matter that you've taken on dealing with defending the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. First, tell us about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes so the audience has a clear understanding of this wonderful ministry and the work that they do and the significance they have on public high schools across the country.
Yes, FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, is a fantastic organization. They're global and they reach something like 62 or 63 countries. But here in the U.S., they focus on, well, the organization focuses on the intersection between passion for sports and passion for Christ. So they try to use people's passion for athletics and sports to increase the awareness of God and his work and the passion for Christ. And it's a ministry that is just fantastic.
Okay, how do they do that? How do they do that on public high school campuses?
They offer chapters of their clubs. So there's school clubs. Students can create a chapter at their high school.
Okay. And they have this club, and then they meet probably right after school. And apparently it's had fantastic results with regards to young people giving their lives to Christ, you know, moving in the right direction, bringing their faith into their athletics, and having a Christ-like attitude in their athletics. It sounds like it's a great organization. They have a great reputation. And yet something... Dennis, something happened at Homestead High School in Cupertino, California. What happened there to the FCA club that was there?
It was a bit of a snafu, but let me give you the background of an outstanding student there.
Sure.
Her name is Jocelyn Lim. She's a sophomore, and she attended an FCA leadership camp over the summer. As a result of that, she felt compelled to start a chapter of the FCA at her high school in Homestead. So she went through the application process. Yeah, the application process at this school involved creating a video. So they created a really interesting video explaining what they would offer to the school and the students and what FCA was about, and it was great. But unfortunately, they were denied. So they were not allowed to be an officially recognized club of the school.
So the students trying to form this club were denied the ability to get this going. So we're not talking about the organization coming in and applying. We're talking about the students. This is a student-initiated club going through all the hoops that are needed to go through to be approved and they were denied. Why were they denied?
Well, at this high school, at Homestead High School, it's the ASB, the student government, who votes and decides on whether clubs are going to be accepted.
Okay, well, what reason did the student council give? What was their basis for denying this Christian club?
Well, it was a mistake made by the student council, and I'll explain. They gave four reasons why they denied the club. The first one is that they claimed that the FCA overlapped with another Christian club at the school, which it didn't, because the other Christian club didn't have anything to do with athletics like FCA does.
Right.
So we cleared that up.
Good.
The second reason is that they misinterpreted the video. The video said clearly that they accept anybody, doesn't matter if you're Christian or not, doesn't matter if you're an athlete or not. But the students of the student council misinterpreted that and felt like it was exclusive, which, of course, it is not.
Right, right.
And then the third reason is they did say that it was hard to lose the Christian focus, and I'm quoting that. So
It's hard to lose the Christian focus? What do they mean
right.
by that?
It's unclear to me what they meant, but it seems to me that they didn't want it to be Christian-focused.
Well, that's the one problem with that is that's not a legitimate reason to keep out a club because you don't want it Christian focused.
Right.
But I think doesn't that say something though about, you know, this is the San Francisco Bay Area, and I think that mindset though, was it's religiophobic or whatever, but it has that mindset of, well, maybe they're thinking that, you know, because it's a public school, you know, we can't have something too religious, too Christian, because it isn't a public school. And I guess that attitude is just sort of may have been there, but nonetheless, a demonstration of ignorance of what the federal law deals with, which clearly protects religious clubs. And a club can be as religious as they want and still be a student club. And I guess they just didn't understand that.
That's right. And the district stepped in and did a great job of correcting this. But let me just quickly mention the fourth reason. So the fourth reason is that the student body said that they didn't see the qualifications of the officers, which is unsubstantiated and unnecessary.
Right. That's ridiculous. I mean, to say students, you know, students are the officers, right? And these students weren't somehow inferior in terms of being able to lead a club than other students leading clubs. So I that's unfortunate. And what their basis was for that, we won't even go there. But so we saw these four reasons given, and what happened next?
The Pacific Justice Institute sent a letter to the Fremont Union High School District to explain what happened and that this violates federal law.
Okay, good. And then what happened?
Well, they were great. The superintendent actually called me back and was actually apologetic that the FCA students had to experience this. And she said that she informed the school to recognize the FCA as an official club. And what was great is that it brought light to this issue. And she said that they were going to institute district-wide training on these types of issues so that this doesn't happen again. And I just think that's fantastic.
Yes, excellent. Hats off to that superintendent and that school district. And we do. We hope not only that school district learns and what they're doing is absolutely fantastic. I think it's frankly a model for what we should have public schools doing all across the United States. They should all be sensitized, to use their language, sensitized to religious tolerance in public schools, and in particular, the federal statute that mandates such tolerance when it comes to religious clubs, faith-based clubs. So I think what you did is fantastic. The way we handled it, I really appreciate that. You know, folks need to understand, over 90% of the cases we take on at the Pacific Justice Institute, we get resolved without litigation, and it's because our goal is not to litigate. Our goal is to just simply move the ball down the field and make sure people get the justice that they deserve, including this Christian club there in the Fremont Unified School District. Dennis, you are exemplary in how you handled this. And I encourage people out there, if you have similar situations, contact us at Pacific Justice Institute. We'd love to help you. We have a great book, Reclaim Your School, talks all about, you know, once again, how you can legally share your faith in public education. And I think you'll find it very inspiring. Go to our website, pji.org, pji.org. Once again, Dennis, thank you for doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Brad.
Pacific Justice Institute invites you to join in the fight to protect our religious liberties. Consider volunteering in one of our California offices or become an affiliate attorney. Visit our website to find out more, pji.org. And while you're there, subscribe to our Legal Insider to keep updated on all of our current cases. Pacific Justice Institute. Together, we can make a difference.
So folks, there you have it. It's our God-given freedoms we're talking about. Now, let's choose to keep them. I'm Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening in today. To find out more about the Pacific Justice Institute or the Dacus Report, call 916-857-6900 or log on to pacificjustice.org.